I want you to grab your Bible and open it up to Mark chapter 10. Every time we are here in this place, you know, the Bible is central to everything that we're doing, everything that we're thinking. And so we want to spend some time and look into the Word and find out what God is teaching us this morning. Mark 10, there's this awesome story that fits perfectly with our conversation about orphans and foster care. This fall, we've been walking through a series, that we're calling Encounters with Jesus. And the thing that I've been hoping that you would catch is that every person that we have met along the journey of the Encounters with Jesus is uniquely different. There's remarkable diversity of the people and their circumstances that God in his sovereignty determined to place in the gospel stories. We don't have the story of every single person that Jesus met. So the individuals that the gospel writers give us the story, they're important. They're for a reason that each one of those individuals is brought to the forefront. And there's a very unique people that we find throughout this story. We've looked at some of their lives in the series that we've been going through this fall. A diversity of people and their circumstances. Even with the disciples that we met right from the beginning, remember, you had some of them, they're kind of rough, hardworking, calloused-handed fishermen. Guys, they're used to long nights and hard work. And Jesus met them, changed their life, changed their future. And at the same time, in that disciple group, you had white-collar, savvy tax collectors who, frankly, wasn't even really liked by the common people, and Jesus met him and changed his life and gave him a new future. We met a woman with a debilitating health issue, been waiting for 12 years for healing, as well as a paralyzed guy with the four amazing friends who wrecked the roof to get him help. Remember that? We met a desperate father whose son had been tormented for years. And he had these big questions that we talked about doubt and faith. And we also watched Jesus meet an up-and-coming young CEO making bank and accustomed to privilege and wealth and comfort. And Jesus met him as well. And we've looked at each of these stories. Everyone interesting, everyone diverse. And here's the point. Each of these encounters reveals that Jesus meets people right where they are, regardless of their background or their personal struggles. And when he meets them, he offers grace and transformation, like a new life. And here's what I want to tell you, that God will meet you. He'll meet you right where you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your circumstances are. And he'll offer his grace, and he'll offer transformation. This morning, we're going to come to a very different encounter, and it's a very important part of the Gospels. What we find out in Mark chapter 10 is that children also came to meet Jesus. Children had an encounter with Jesus, and I think Jesus was definitely making an important point. I want to begin reading in Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. Over in Matthew 19, the parallel passage says that Jesus would lay his hands on them and pray that he would bless them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. It's a fascinating scene. Jesus had been teaching the crowds, and it seems like he tried to get a little break. In fact, if you look back at verse 10, it says that he had stepped away into somebody's home, maybe to get a bite to eat, maybe to get a little bit of rest from the crowds that were always thronging around him, maybe to debrief with his disciples the latest lesson. And it seems like that's what's happening. They got away, they sat down, the small group was just talking, and we can kind of understand this. I mean, finally, it was just them, their little band. The disciples finally kind of had Jesus to themselves. They could get the inside scoop from the teacher himself. But even as they're talking in this little home, the crowd begins to form around them. And Mark tells us in verse 13 that they were bringing the children to him that he might bless them, he might touch them. Probably young kids held by their parents, maybe toddlers, maybe some older. And the disciples didn't want those kids bothering Jesus. In their mind, Jesus had a lot more important things to do than worry about these bunch of, you know, snotty kids that are running around. And in fact, if you look at verse 17 and following, we actually looked at this a month or so ago. That's the story of the rich young ruler. I mean, this was an up-and-coming CEO. This guy could have really helped Jesus' cause along if he'd become a follower of Jesus. I mean, that's who they thought Jesus should have been focusing his attention on. And so the children started coming along. Parents wanted to push the children forward, and the disciples are like, no, get away. In fact, what you have is this clash of culture. For sure, a clash of priorities. In that day, the children were overlooked until they could contribute. Part of the culture was your worth, your value was based on what you could contribute to the family, the village, the society. And children, they weren't there yet, so there really wasn't a lot of value. They're just kind of a nuisance until they could actually get to be a little older. But that's not how Jesus saw it. And Jesus stops everything. Man, I can just picture this. I mean, here's Peter and Andrew and Thomas. I don't know which one of the disciples. I probably shouldn't shout out some of those guys. I don't know which one, but they're like out there trying to shoo these little kids away. And instead, verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, suffer the little children. Let the little children come to me and don't forbid them. Jesus was much displeased. Not just a little displeased. In fact, other translations, in fact, the other accounts say he was indignant, annoyed, maybe even outraged, felt like something unjust had happened. That's kind of the idea of it being indignant. Something unfair was taking place, and he was like, not a little displeased. I want to define what's happening here in two ways. They'll be very quick, but these are important ideas that we need to plant. Here's number one. The disciples saw inconvenience, but Jesus saw image bearers. Hey, church family, friends, you got to be very, very careful when we start to see people that Jesus values as nothing more than nuisances to us and inconveniences. Children in that world had no power, no status, no voice. But Jesus stops everything for them. He turns the whole conversation. In fact, I don't think this was just like an isolated story that was about an emotional moment. I don't think this was just kind of this emotionally charged encounter. I think that Jesus was radically resetting a whole cultural perspective. He was saying that these kids matter. And listen to me, if they matter to Jesus, they better matter to us. So this isn't just an emotional sympathy that's being expressed. Jesus' reaction reveals something theological. Listen to this. It tells us about the essential character of God. He's not really all that impressed with the strong and the important. He's not drawn to those who can do something for him. We don't step up into, you know, God's realm and say, hey, look who I am. You want me on your team because look what I can do for you. God's not impressed with that. He's not drawn to those who can do something for him. The story all throughout the Gospels is that he's moved by the vulnerable, by those who need safety, love, and belonging. He was totally different than how most of us view the people around us. That's the second idea, that this is not charity, it's theology. And I'm using some words pretty specific. This is not just charity work. This is the gospel embodied. This is the most important thing to the Christian, lived out in action. Listen to me, this is very important. When Harvest cares for vulnerable children on our island, I mean, coming from broken homes with all kinds of hurts and all kinds of pain and broken trust and empty eyes. We're not caring for them just because somebody has a soft heart. It's not just because of big sympathy for these hurting kids. Listen, this is not the same as just sort of hearing a compelling story and seeing a picture and feeling, right? Have an emotion that says, wow, I feel something about, that's not what we're talking about, just this feeling. The reason that Harvest House is a big deal to us is because of the gospel of Jesus and these image-bearing ones. And verse 16 says, he took them in his arms and he blessed them. The King of all creation picked up those whom the world overlooked and he put them in his lap and he put his arms around them and he blessed them. There's a reason why Harvest House is doing something that perhaps some others are not. There's a reason why Christians ought to be leading the way. It's right for Christians to be leading the way in these kind of care ministries. And it's not just an emotional plea. Get Bethany or Josh or Kayla to get up here and tell a heartbreaking story. That's not the reason that we're doing this. It is because this is a gospel mandate. It's the command of Jesus. He says, let the children come unto me. And by the way, it's the same reason why right now, while this service is going on, we've got, actually between the two services, we've got close to 150 children in Harvest Kids Ministries this morning. A lot of work and a lot of effort going into that. Why? Because we believe what Jesus said, let the children come to me. It's why we're going to send out vans and buses this Wednesday like we do every Wednesday under Miss Rhonda's ministry on Wednesday nights. You can pick up kids in neighborhoods all around the island. We're going to bring them here. And I get it. It's Wednesday night ministry is challenging. People are, leaders can be tired after a long day and kids are rowdy and they can be rambunctious, and some of these kids are coming from tough neighborhoods. But listen, we're going to go get them and we're going to bring them here because they need to know that Jesus loves them. And they need to know that they are loved here by the people that love Jesus. We're trying to do everything that we can to remove all the hindrances that keep children from coming to Jesus, because this is what Jesus wants us to do. He commanded us to do this. The disciples of Jesus should do everything that we can to remove all hindrances that keep children from coming to Jesus. This is the reason why tomorrow morning we're going to start up another week of school at Harvest Christian Academy. The whole reason, the whole mission of Harvest Christian Academy is that children would grow up to know Jesus. Their parents and their families. So when Jesus says, suffer the little children. It's just, suffer is just an old language way of saying, let them, allow them, permit them. When he says, let the little children come unto me, he wasn't just talking about children in ancient Judea. He was talking about children right here on Guam. Children who have been hurt and who have been moved from home to home and who need to know that there's still a place where they belong. There's a reason why there's 55 chairs, empty chairs, all around the auditorium this morning, so that we could not forget and we would remember that there needs to be a place for these children here. At our church, yeah, I mean, in this space, but it's much more symbolic than that. Not just in the building. In Harvest Baptist Church, which is us, it's people. It's not a building, it's people. There's a place for these kids here. Place where they'll be, know they belong, they fit, someone will care. And when a believer opens up their home or supports a foster family or gives to Harvest House, that's not just kindness. That is Christ's compassion in motion. This is Jesus' arms reaching out through his people. It's not just charity, it's theology. It's the gospel embodied. Statistics we've heard this morning that there are 55 children waiting right now in shelters or group homes. 740 children in the foster care system. CPS has removed 175 children from their homes this year. About half, a little less than half of those, 76 of those have come through Harvest House Emergency Triage Center right when they've left their home, right when they've been taken out of their home. The first place they've come is CPS, bringing them to Harvest House. What the Bible tells us is that Jesus opens his arms to these kids. The question is, will we? God is saying to the Harvest family, suffer the little children. Let them come to me. Show them the way. Open up your arms. A foster mom from Harvest House shared this. She said, every time I set the dinner table, I leave one chair open. I started doing it because I never know when the phone might ring, when another child might need a home that night. That empty chair reminds me that our home belongs to Jesus, and his heart is always open to one more. That empty seat is not, it's more than just furniture. It's a picture of the heart of Christ. Verse 16 says, he took them up in his arms and he blessed them. I don't know if you caught it when we began the message, but the title that we placed, that I placed on this message is In His Arms. And our prayer is that Jesus' arms through his people would still be open today. So a couple take-home truths. Number one, leave a seat open. Can I encourage you to think about it? Leave a seat open. Is God calling you and your family to be a place where the arms of Jesus could be opened up to the 55 kids that need a home? Number two, leave your heart open. I recognize that not everyone can foster. This service is not meant to, you know, be you know, kind of a guilt service. This is not the point at all. Not everyone can foster. Everyone's situation is different. But everyone can be part of the embrace. Pray for foster families. There's big challenges that the foster families that stood up here and others throughout our church. Big challenges, tough steps. There's difficult days for all involved. The kids that have been removed from bio homes are trying to adjust to a new family, and families that are adjusting. These are challenges. Our foster families desperately need to know. In fact, could you tell them? Tell them you're praying for them. Let them know that today, as things are going on this week, tough nights, long days, I'm praying for you. How can I help? Support them tangibly. Find out, can you do something individually? For sure through Harvest House, but you might actually just adopt one of these families and say, what can I do? How could I help you? I want to be like a support for you individually. Volunteer with Harvest House. We already mentioned some of the needs. You can talk with Bethany. You can talk with Kayla. You can talk with any of the volunteers. They'll be around this morning. I'll tell you more about that. Talk with them. Find out how you can volunteer. It's legit, a tangible way that you can be part of this mission. And then champion children who need care and hope. Leave a seat open. Leave your heart open. And number three, leave space for the overlooked, the small, and the helpless. Because that's where the heart of Jesus always goes first. Can I tell you one more thing? For somebody here, this might be the most important thing that I'm going to say this morning. In fact, it might be the most important thing that you've heard in all of your life. You might have walked in here searching for something spiritual in your heart. In fact, you might not even known you're searching until you got here, until right now. But through the course of this service, you felt something going on in your heart. It's as if God has been like peering down, and you can feel that. You can feel that empty space, this desire, burden, you know, to that something's missing. This is a very interesting text that tells us something about it. Verse 15, it says this, verily I say unto you, verily means this is true, truly. You can guarantee this, get this. Whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Listen, if you sense sort of that emptiness of your heart, I want you to know that becoming a child of God and experiencing the kingdom of God is not complicated. There's not a whole bunch of stuff you need to do. In fact, what Jesus is saying is that you come to the kingdom like a child does. You say, what does that mean? Just with the childlike faith that believes what you're told and comes with empty arms. You don't come with all the stuff that you've accomplished and that you've done, the spiritual actions and activities that you've had. That's not what gets you into the kingdom. The kingdom, according to Jesus, is open to those who come to him like a little child. He's just talking about come with childlike faith. God, I need you. And I believe in you. I believe in your word. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to be the forgiver of my sin. And I've got some sin guilt that I need forgiveness for. And I give my life to you. I surrender my life to you. It's just that simple faith. And there might be somebody here this morning that I'm saying these words and it's like an echoing in your heart because God in his spirit is speaking it into your life. There's an interesting word in the middle. It says that as many as receive, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God. It doesn't say whoever achieves. It means to accept or welcome. We come to Jesus with empty hands, like children, bringing nothing and trusting completely. You can't come to Jesus with your arms full of everything. He wants you to come to him like a little kid. Don't know how to feed themselves. Don't know how to tie their shoes or wipe their nose. Maybe even like a kid that might need carrying. come to him helpless. But if you're there, I've been trying to live my life all along and I found out that I can't do it. I need Jesus. Then you're right where you should be. And Jesus is speaking to you. I hope that you'll listen to him. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to close our service and sing in a song in just a minute. Andrew's going to come. But I want to ask you to just do some thinking before we go. Everybody's heads bowed. I just kind of in a moment of spiritual inspection, examination. Can I ask you two questions? Question number one is this. I wonder if there's some here that would say, Pastor, I'm one of those that came in here and I'm unsure about my spiritual life. I need to receive Jesus. Would you pray for me? Would you be willing to lift up your hand and say that? I'm one of those that I'm unsure about my spiritual life. I need Jesus. Would you pray for me? Would you lift up your hand? Let me pray for you. Amen. Thank you. Downstairs, upstairs, I need Jesus. I know that I feel this emptiness in my heart. Would you pray for me? Here's question number two. I'm guessing that across this room, many have felt the burden, the call to this mission, caring for those that God calls us to care for. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. You don't need to be thinking about that. But I do want you to think, is God talking to me? Because I think he is. I think there's some he's talking to. And your testimony this morning might be, I believe that God is calling me to be part of the arms of Jesus in some real way, fulfilling Jesus' command to let the children come to me. Listen, if that's you, would you tell him yes right now? Yes, God, I'll be part of your arms to minister to the children that you've commanded us to let them come to me. Father, thank you for moving, working, speaking in this room this morning, reaching down to our hearts. I pray that we would always be the kind of people that say yes. Yes, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. I'm here. I'm volunteer. My arm is raised. Would you do that this morning? In Jesus' name, amen.